Yeah, I never really felt like I had a position to be the dominant person in the house at all, because I was the youngest. Like, I've got an older brother, and then my dad's in the house, so the three men in the house. I couldn't claim nothing. What am I claiming? I'm the youngest, I'm the smallest, I can't do nothing. I had to make a dominant position by myself, if that makes sense. So I had to kind of make that journey alone and kind of find my own place.
This is Talking to My Thoughts.
Welcome to Talking to My Thoughts, the podcast where we have open, honest and raw conversations about the things that are playing on our minds. Now, my name's Simon, aka SJ. I'm a father of two and I'm an all-round creative entrepreneur.
Hi, my name is Craig, a cheesy motivator with a solution background, big dreams and a passion for helping others find and maintain their peace and take control of their lives.
Hi, I'm Naaman, father of three, dedicated soccer fan and avid Manchester United supporter.
Oh, he's one of them.
I'm Ryan, I'm 27, a personal trainer from East London, bit of a creative myself, and I'm an Arsenal fan.
Ooh.
Yeah, the other side.
Wicked. Well, yeah, thank you very much for joining us today, man. So in this podcast, we bring a unique perspective on our inner thoughts by literally pre-recording the things that are on our mind before talking about them with the group. Now, we do this because we believe before you can be open with others, you first have to be open with yourself. So make sure you guys that are listening, follow us, stay updated on all of our socials at Talking to My Thoughts. Now, today's topic is, what is the black man's place in the home? Now, this is a question that was actually thrown to us when we was doing a couple of other episodes. And it was just something that one of our listeners reached out to us and said, well, what do you think about this? And I thought, oh, you know what? Let's just do a podcast episode on this, because I think a lot of people can have something to say. So for you guys, when we obviously proposed this topic, what was the first thing that was triggered in your minds?
I guess I'm going to kick off. I don't know. I don't like the whole conversation of what a man should be or what a black man should be at that point, because this is where a lot of the pressure and responsibility, well, perceived responsibility comes from as well. So to me, you just need to be yourself. I'm going to be completely different to other people, but mine is just be yourself.
I was a bit thrown. I just had an image of my granddad and my dad, like, just talking, and it was like, that's all I've known, just two protective men. So I didn't know anything different. So I asked one of the guys at work, and it was like, his mum's pretty much the breadwinner, and his dad kicks back and relaxes. So when I heard that, I was like, everyone's going to have different opinions, thoughts and feelings on it. So I was like, I really want to open my mind to see what other people's backgrounds have been like for them to be that way inclined, if that makes sense.
This is it's a little bit strange, but for me, it was more to do with like the role reversal of a father role. What is a father to you as a person? Then it is different to somebody else.
Wicked, man. So I guess we'll dive straight into it. I'm happy to play my pre-record first, and then we'll open up the conversation from there, man. You guys ready?
Yeah,
let's go. So, what is the black man's place in a home? What is their place? Now, if you know me, you'll know that I'm not one to kind of follow trends, follow suits, follow stereotypes, follow the conventions of what you should do. And I'm definitely not one to try and impose that onto other people. I think that everybody is an individual. I try not to take you on face value or state that this is what you should do because you look like this or because this is who you are. So it's difficult because obviously when you're looking at other cultures, other religions, other races, when each individual
or each man, should I say, maybe has a different role in what they're expected to do and what they're expected to be. There's a lot of pressure when it comes to, well, I can say that because obviously I'm a black man. There's a lot of pressure in terms of fulfilling those expectations and fulfilling that role. I believe that a black man's role or their place in a home is actually to be present. It's to be there. That's what I believe. There is, well, as a man, as a woman, as a partner, as a father, as you know, someone that is part of a family unit, you have a responsibility to keep that structure intact. You have a responsibility to play your part, to pull your own weight. Obviously, at times, pull the weight of other people in the family. I think that you have a responsibility to support. I think that's where the extent of my belief of what you have to do or what you should do as a man in a home, that's the extent of what you should do. But is there more to that role? Of course. And then that's where obviously the debate comes in as to what those things are. What are those roles? Not to say that the position is to be a dominant role within that family, because again, there's with the society and the times that we're living in now, the man can still be present in the home, but they don't necessarily take on that leadership role. In particular, when you have a family, your responsibility is to them. Your responsibility is to keep all of the links strong. You're, as they say, you're only as strong as your weakest link, and it's your responsibility as the man of the home or in a home to be a strong link within that family unit, but then also to help support everyone else to be strong as well. And that's whether it's through, I don't know, education, whether it's through financial stability and then bringing in the money, whether it's through taking care of the home, whether it's through cleaning, cooking, whatever. I've never been one to kind of judge on what that role should be, but I think the foundations of it is to be present and be supportive.
I know you, Simon. Obviously, everybody knows I know Simon. And listening to you, there wasn't a level of like surety. The only thing that you were sure about was being present. And also what you would have said, again, a lot of people were debating on the part of it being, well, is this a black man's role? Or is it just a black person's role? Or is it even a black or a man's role at all? Is it just a person? Now, this is where the field that we get into, where we were brought up in a certain way. It feels like, yeah, you was brought up to do certain responsibilities, etc. And that's probably what you've learnt, which I'm going to ask you that question in a sec, if that's what you learnt more than what it felt like you had to do. And then we're going to have this case where if we started to say, okay, that's the advice, when you have to start giving that advice to other people, now you have to think, well, why? Where did this come from? And then you have to wonder, oh no, well, does the advice that I believe in myself apply to other people? And that self-awareness is what will now determine what narrative we put out to other people and what responsibilities we lay on other people as well. So for me, the question for you on that part is, why do you believe those are some of the things that you mentioned are the stuff that you have to do? Was it something that you learnt as you was brought up, or is it actually something that you believe many should share?
I think it's a bit of both, to be honest. Obviously, we've obviously covered like how we're brought up as men as well, how we're raised, and the things that we take from the exterior world. And obviously, the first connection or the first thing you have as a representation of what a man is usually your dad.
Mm-hmm.
Is usually your dad or whatever other strong father figure you have yeah, in your life. So naturally, when you grow up, you're going to believe that that is what it is to be a man, what it is to be a black man in the home, what their role is, because that's what you see. So partly I believe that because, yes, that's what I did have in my home. My dad was around. He was very much a part of my life, and he had a particular role to play in the house. He was like the breadwinner. He earned the most in the family. He was the financial support. He was the guidance, the advisor. Like, he was very much a strong link within that family unit. So that's where I obviously naturally take that belief from. Mm-hmm. But then again, from my own experience, from me becoming a dad, and how I think my role is and what I need to play within my own home. So it's a bit of both, because it's obviously what I've learned from seeing my dad, but then also what I've learned from experience and being a dad as well.
I would put the question across. If we was to narrow down the aspect of, because we are talking about black men, not just a father within a household. I grew up in like a similar to you, Simon. I grew up in a household where mum and dad were there, you know. But one of the catalysts for me going forward as a black man was spirituality. So I grew up in a Christian household, right? Kind of come away from that in a different way, in a different level. And for me, the ideology of being a black man was never paramount. It was just to be a man. And a man in the Bible is the breadwinner, the backbone, you know, the Adam and Eve story. You came from a rib. So, you know, you, as a woman, you know, you don't not bow to your man, but, you know, you are no higher than the man in the household. Mm. When specifically, it was only when I was older and I realized the personalities of dealing with scenarios that I'd never dealt with before, that I really understood of being a black father in a household. So I've got three kids. I got no qualms to turn around. I've got three kids, three different mothers, right? And they've all individually got three different personalities. And I only realized how quickly I needed to mature, because for me, as a black man, I had my first child when I was about 21. I needed to mature really quickly. So while my friends were going IB far and partying and everything like that, I didn't know how quickly you needed to mature as a black man, because there was no instruction manual to turn around and say, "Hi, black man, here's how to be a dad that you're not with the mother." I never had any instructions, because I grew up in a married household. So for me, it was more to do with society and me going against the society's stigma of, "Oh, she's a single parent and daddy's not around." I made that like really clear to myself that I wanted to be that. So for me, it was like, what did they say, test by fire, or, you know, you were just thrown into the deep end. And I was like, I never really changed. So
I'm going to ask you a question.
Done.
What kind of conversations did you have with your dad when that situation first started?
There's two conversations. My mum said to me, "I thought, based on the stereotype of who you were, I thought you'd have kids at 18." Mm-hmm. Like that, realness like that. But I waited. Well, I never waited, but mummy was just not trying to support that. My dad, he was just like, "That's your business." No word of a lie. It wasn't, honestly, because when you, like, as I don't know if you all grew up in like Christian household, but there's like, when people are, and I'm no afraid to say it, I've got a Jehovah Witness background. That's my family. And when you do things out of wedlock, it's shun upon, like, "Oh my God, you were supposed to get married and wait until you have kids," and everything like that. Like, kind of like our parents kind of did. So when I didn't have that, it was like, "Boy, that's your business. I'm not here to be, you know, giving you instructions," because really and truly, it takes two people to raise a child. So when I didn't get that support, I was just like, "Well, what do I do now?"
To kind of steer in the way of obviously the specific topic, I guess any of you guys can answer this as well, and we can obviously jump back to some of the points I made in my voice note, but how do you find your place? Because we're talking about what is the actual place, especially of a black man. How do you even find that place and that position? Is it just through representation of what you see? Like, I know obviously Naaman, you had to kind of figure it out, but what's kind of like your goal in terms of, okay, this is what I believe my place should be. Even if you don't have kids, that's the thing. Even if you don't have kids, you're still in a home. You still got a family structure.
I mean, mimic my dad a lot with stuff. So I'm always the first to put my hand out with anything that needs to be done within my family. So that means going to someone's house and helping them. For instance, mow the lawn. Like, me and my uncles do that a lot together. Like, we look after our family really, really tightly, and we never, like, the women don't lift a finger. It's not in a sense of paying or anything like that, or moving stuff around the house. Like, we do these things to make sure the women in our houses and our families are well looked after and happy. It's just the kindness of our own heart. Like, that's when people say alpha male, that's what I see in alpha male. It's someone that looks after their own, like, really puts them first and always, always has their back 100%. None of this, like, I must pay for this and I do this. It's like, you're just doing out of the kindness of your own heart.
Interesting topic. I love just listening, and this is why we kind of had this, where we just get to listen and hear the perspectives. So really tie it back into the whole black man part of it is the fact that black people in general have a very strong background and culture or way of doing things or core beliefs that run through generations. That is one thing we can definitely say about our generation, our race, and probably other races as well. But ours in particular, for what we can speak on. And I find a lot of the battle when we become an adult actually is, one, not becoming the narrative that we class as negative, such as a father not in the household. Two, a father having to be present, and that means if you're not present, you're probably not being a man or a good black man at that, because that's another thing that is negative in our Caribbean household, or black household, I should say. And then three, being the provider, helper, and the person that is at the top of the household is another part which is very strongly rooted in our, from even if it's part of religion or part of just a black household, we could probably all agree on that. And from how all of you that have spoken has particularly shown that. But I always love to pray the controversial side of it is the fact that, let's say you wasn't able to be in your child's life. Something was just too difficult to be a part of the child's life because of maybe your relationship with the mother or some other circumstances that you're going through, things that you just can't seem to be a good man at it. Let's say, Ryan, for example, you wasn't able to be the same person as your dad and your grandfather, where you was able to try to provide. What happens in the day that you can't provide and you can't do when they need you to do the most, when they need you to be the rock and you can't be nothing but rubble? And then for you, Simon, will be the case where, what happens if you could not support your house the way that your dad did when it was brought into it? Obviously, I know you're a great father right now. What if you couldn't do that? What does that make you as a man and a black man at that? What do you see?
If I'm honest,
go ahead.
You feel like a failure.
I'm literally going to say that. You feel That's like what I was failure, going through my head. You are a failure.
Yeah. In wholehearted honesty, because we're trying to have an honest conversation. Like, you, we're brought onto this, we're in this world to serve a purpose, isn't it? To serve a purpose, to succeed, to leave something behind.
A legacy.
And in particular, when you have kids, you want, well, at least from my perspective, you want to put as much as you can into your kids. So if there ever comes a position where I can't fulfill that, or I can't be a part of my kid's life, or I'm not doing a good job, I feel like a failure, if I'm honest with you, because that's where I see my purpose is. I'm working hard, I'm earning money, I'm doing all of these things to help to provide. And it's not to say that that's the position that I have, like, because everyone says that's what I need to do. It's just me, again, just going back to what I mentioned before, is representation of what I've seen and what I believe and what I want to replicate. Some people don't want to do that, and that's fine. They can be happy not being in their kids' lives. But for me, that's where my purpose is. So if I'm not fulfilling that, I do feel like a failure. I would beat myself up about it, honestly, I would.
Thank you so much for the transparency and honesty. What about, and then Ryan said failure, and Naaman, what do you say?
I don't know about y'all, but yeah, I type the thing there because it comes from the heart. So my daughter, she's 4 years old, right? And she had her birthday in January, right? January is a tough month. Work in retail. My daughter comes around and she's like, "Daddy, daddy, daddy, I want this for Christmas, for birthdays. Now you just had a Christmas present." And I've got to find it within myself to turn around and be able to afford what she wants on top of the fact that she's got Christmas presents. Now, I have sometimes a difficulty in being able to provide those things that what they want. And I honestly, something like Simon, I beat myself up badly. You know, I get almost like a depressed state that I turn around and be like, what black man can't provide and so on and so forth. And especially because I'm not in the household, you have to do more to be your provider. You have to be, well, not the top choncho in the house, but you know, you always want to be able to just do and get that money or get this for your child and everything like that. And it's difficult to kind of draw that fine line. So I think similar to what Simon said, you know, society turning around and saying to you, this is what you've got to do as a black man and this is what you got to do as a black man. But it doesn't turn around and kind of give you a written out plan or a contingency plan to say, well, what happens when you don't do that?
So let's get into Ryan's one before we continue for the rest.
Yeah, let's get it.
The black man's place in the house was such a deep, deep thought process for me, because it's like I've had such a positive role model. So for me, I think my dad showed me the rights and wrongs from a young age. And I think he gave me the ability to understand not how to be an alpha male, but what an alpha male actually is. And I think a lot of people have this narrative that it's a person that can big up his chest and flash money and have all these nice things and act not with just aggression, but like with a certain piece of dominance. And it's not that for me. It's like you protect, honour, obey and serve the people you love. And it's not about bowing down. It's like you have their best interests at heart and you put them first and you protect them at all times and you educate them and you be their rock, their shoulder to cry on. You're just there for them. Like, I don't know how to explain it deeper than that. But those for me, the things I look at. And then going forward, it's like, not saying I ever saw my mum pay for anything, because I did. But I think people have this thing like men must always pay and men must do this. I think our role in that house now changes, because I think with society moving forward, it's like we have to do everything. And we are looked at in a certain way to do everything. And for me, it's like I really sit there and think, is this what life is in that sense? Like, is this all women look at men for? And I think with everything now going forward, for me, I can't really see anything changing. I think it's just going to get worse as we grow up, how people are going to view the house role or just a role in the house in general. Like, what part does a man play, especially being a black man? Like, we have to educate our young kings about racism. We have to educate them about the system and how we have to conduct ourselves. It's a lot. Like, we have to teach them about gang violence and knife crime and all these kind of things. And it's like, we're still going to be worried because our kids are going to get stereotyped. Even if they're bad, like, we're still going to have that stereotype over our head, and everything you do is 10 times harder. And being that dominant character, we have to really then sit there and protect what we have and don't break egos, but make people understand that we are, we try hard, we do struggle, but we do give 100% of everything we do. And it's just hard for me to look at things any different now. And I really get upset with like my past with certain things when people are like, oh yeah, but you're lucky you had a father and you had good role models around you. And it's like, no, like, you have those things as well. They all are there. Like, you can all have those things. You just gotta, like, take yourself away from the negativity of everything and really sit there and look deeper and, like, think, I don't need to be doing what he's doing. Like, I want to be like so-and-so. Let me go and sit there on YouTube and learn about so-and-so and why this person is the way they are. And I don't think we as a whole help that because of what we see on Instagram and all that kind of stuff. But yeah, man, it's hard for me to look at that any different growing up, I'll be honest. And yeah, I can't think any deeper than that. My mind's gonna go mad.
My first thing is self-awareness, not only for yourself, because self-awareness will give you control of what you should and shouldn't do, what actually is your responsibility. Does it mean you're failing if you're not doing the things that were passed down to you?
Yeah.
And then the second part to it is self-awareness for the other people who don't have their fathers in their lives and didn't have their grandfathers or didn't have a father figure.
Mm-hmm.
How are they able to know what to do right and wrong? But again, it requires self-awareness to understand, okay, well, this doesn't feel right. So maybe I should look elsewhere for some type of influence, etc. And I think in general, self-awareness is a key thing in talking about being a black man or black person in general, because I think sometimes people, I love listening to you guys and as well. And I can't say that I don't have like certain traits or things that I believe in myself that I feel like I have to uphold or kind of person I have to be. But I kind of I've spoken to so many men around men's mental health for quite a few years now, and everything is pretty much orientated around them fighting with reality and in the sense of what they imagine they're supposed to be versus what they are being, and then not knowing why they can't just be who they're supposed to be in. Well, and who are they supposed to be? Where does that come from? Is it because they gave it to themselves? No. Actually, most of the things that people believe is their purpose or their core beliefs is actually a generational or cultural belief. But has a person actually dived deeper within themselves to figure out, actually, is my purpose supposed to be this? Are you supposed to be in a two-parent relationship, for example? Are you supposed to be a father? Are you supposed to be this person, or are you just living out a narrative that was passed down to you? And a question, this is something for you to think about as well, is when you think about your purpose, if God never made us incomplete, do you believe your purpose is to do with external things, including your partner, including your kids? Or do you believe your purpose originally was actually supposed to be more about you? What are you doing as an individual? Because does it mean that when you become a father, that's when you have purpose? Does it believe when you are acting like the other black men, that's when you have purpose? Does it mean when you are upholding what a Caribbean household is supposed to be like, is that when you're living your purpose? Or is your purpose actually something that is more individual?
I think for me, in answering that question, I already had a goal to have kids. And I always wanted to be a father. But my aspirations in doing so changed. The parameters changed. As I said before, you kind of always want this, like you said, two-parent household. But it didn't change my outlook of having and wanting to be a father and a father figure in those kids' lives. And it didn't. It just changed. But like the parameters changed. That you can still be a good dad or a good father and still do all of the things that you want to, but you just have to adjust to those kind of things.
I think literally I had to sit back to understand something to myself. My goal growing up, like when it comes to that, was always to be better than my dad. And my dad's a great man. Like I can't, obviously he has his faults, but for how he's grown me, I can't fault him. And he said that about my granddad. He was like, anything my dad didn't do with me, I'm going to make sure I do with you. And that's my philosophy. Anything my dad hasn't done with me, I'm going to make sure I do with my kids. And I hope that can continue, because you know what? It's all about learning. Like, my dad told me, oh, I should have done this with you when I was younger. Like, he's like, oh, I should have sent you to private school before secondary school. Just to give you a bit more of a head start. Don't get me wrong, I still done well in my GCSEs and my A-levels and that. But he was just like, that could have kick-started something else. I don't know. So maybe I could send my kids to private school. It's the things that he didn't do, I'd give the opportunity to my kids.
To be honest, for me, when I'm thinking about, okay, did I have a purpose before kids or whatever, my mindset is very much as an individual. It's not necessarily as, I don't think of myself as like a black man living in London, come from East London, raised in East London. I don't categorize myself first before I think, okay, I'm Simon. That's who I think first. I'm Simon first. Before I think I'm a black man, I think, well, I'm Simon. What would Simon do? What do I believe is the right thing to do? Before I think, what do I believe I should be doing as a black man? It's, well, what do I think I should be doing? What is my purpose as me? Not is what is my purpose as a black man on this earth. It's what is my purpose? Some people will argue whether that's right or wrong. That's completely down to them. But I always think that whenever I'm thinking about giving myself a goal, a purpose, and how I succeed in life, it's about what can I do, not necessarily to compare myself to other people and say, yeah, well, I want to be like this person. Don't get me wrong. Obviously, inspiration is everywhere. You're thinking about what's your place in a home. Your inspiration is from your father figures, your dad, your uncles, whoever. But I try not to compare myself to that and be like, well, am I better than my dad? Am I not as good as my dad? It's like, well, I'm just going to do as best as I can, because that's all I can give. I try and be better every day and do what I can, but I would never kind of beat myself at some point and say, well, I'm not as good as my dad is, because my dad's great. Don't get me wrong, my dad's great, but my mindset has never been like that, to compare myself to anybody else. It's just, I do what I can. And Ryan, going back to your voice note, I can kind of hear the struggle. I heard the struggle in your voice. You was just the exhaling.
You
could just hear the pain, the pressure, the struggle, boy.
Because when Craig sent the question, sorry to cut you, when he sent the question, I just looked at it and I was like, oh, really? Like, I was just like, mid email as well, as I saw it, I was just like, oh, yeah, mate.
I think one thing that we're kind of forgetting here, which is the basis of one of the reasons why we find it difficult to kind of maybe succeed in relationships, is love. Like, I don't know what it is with black men. We've got this bravado about showing love as a whole. And as a disciplinarian in the household, it kind of is kind of put second place, in that dad still needs to show love in the household. And you ever get that kind of, like, as we're all men here, we're mummy's boys.
Everyone, as soon as you said that, everyone thinks of like,
oh,
yeah,
I know.
I'm gonna give something different. Go on, carry on, finish what you're saying.
So I was like, one of the things that I turned around, and similar to what Ryan said, is like, I want to do something that my dad never did. And I do this now ever so much more than I did when I first had my kids, is worth telling my kids that I love them. I don't know whether or not we hear this. I'm not saying that my parents were bad and whatever it is, but sometimes it's difficult to get them kind of words out from black parents. Like, I love you, or I'm sorry. So Mom's one of the things...
But when they beat you, that's love too, bro. It's not real talk. Yeah. I'm not even lying.
Let's be real.
When you beat your kids, some parents think that that's love. I'm disciplining you because I'm trying to teach you to be better. And I'm not saying it's the right way to go about it, but some people treat that as love.
Right.
If I didn't love you, I wouldn't care what you're doing. I wouldn't have to discipline you. Beating you because I love you.
I love the
discipline.
And I
want you to do better.
I don't get me wrong. I'm not right out here. You know, I don't want Chow Lion to call me up and turn around and say, I'm out here beating my kids. But I've understood that one of the things that was missing in that part was the explanation of why I've done wrong. So if you turn around and you beat your child, and then that child resents you afterwards, it's because they don't fully understand why they're being beaten. If you turn around and you discipline that child, and then you turn around and say, look, I'm sorry, because I didn't really want to have to do that in the first place, right? It turns around and it doesn't make it, it doesn't, you're not trying to be, you're bridging with your child, but you want your child to still have that respect for you as a child and you as a parent. So for me, when it came to being disciplined and everything like that, yeah, then, you know, Naaman's the one that sorts out the problems in the household and everything like that. But I also wanted to have my kids understand that daddy loves. And I think when it comes to the black man, as all of the words that we've used are very masculine. And we haven't delved into the kind of the ideology of what emotion should I be showing to my child as a black man in my household.
But we haven't learned. I don't think we've learned that though.
No, so I don't think
we haven't learned that. And the thing is, as a black man, you control your kids through fear, because
So here's where I come in. So obviously, I didn't get to do a recording. I thought it would be. I didn't actually know how to answer the question because I really don't have a strong belief of it having to be a particular way of it being a black man to do it, or even a man to do it in a sense, because. I don't know. I've listened to so many people where most of their depression and their responsibilities and anxiety and their pressure comes from the facts of what society expects them to be. But my upbringing is completely, it's not completely different. It still has the same pretty much Caribbean household, but actually my dad was very loving. And the funny thing about it is that my grandfather, which is his dad, was not affectionate at all. If anything, he was harsh on him and he had a hard upbringing, and he said to me he wanted to be a better father to me than his father was to him. But in particular, my dad does show affection. So he does. We did have the upbringing of dad saying that he loved me, explaining to me why he's done certain things. They probably only, if they ever beat me, there was no beating. So my parents said, you can never call yourself a battered child because you're only ever hit once. I said,
you got hit once.
It'll be like, if I'm getting hit, it'll be the one hit. And I'm like, you know what? That's enough for today. I'm good.
You got hit once.
Yes. And dad was brought up on the opposite side of that. And so was mum.
I got that's a choice point. Of what weapon I was going to get licked with.
See, I didn't have that. And the funny thing, and you know what, and you know the part that they explained afterwards is that when that happened, within 24 hours of it happening, they would then explain themselves. So this, what everybody wishes for, was completely different on how I was brought up. And this is why I'm probably a bit more open about how I see stuff. And we had this, I had a conversation, I went and did an international mentality event in St. Lucia. And in St. Lucia, you could imagine what the Caribbean men, but if it's harsh hair, you know the origins is harsher. So we had people, men that were 35 to 50 something, and some of them said to them that not only did they never have a father in their life, even they were all the way to 40s or 50s, not only did they not know how to be a father as to why they're not in their own kids' life, but also some of them were fathers currently, and they had both men and women. So both a daughter and a son or sons in their life.
Mm-hmm.
And they never told their sons they love them, but told their daughters they love them. In that particular, what would I call it, event that I did, he literally texted his three boys and told them all he loves them. The oldest one was the most resistant, like...
why will you use this?
He said, all right, are you okay? And then he said, I love you too. The second oldest said, okay, I love you. And then the third oldest just said it. But he had never said it in their life. And they're all teenagers and above. So you can imagine this was... And then my dad shared that he was a person that brought up in that way. So this is how my mind is way different as to whose responsibility is who, because dad stepped in for if he had to cook sometimes, if he had to do washing, if mum's not around, when he's not just, we will never see like, oh, the place is not clean, not taken care of, not fed, just because one or the other is not there. Mm-hmm. There was a balance the whole way. So when I think about a black man, the only thing I can really truly resonate with is being present. And the second part is education, because navigating in this world as a black man has a very unique experience you have to go through to then pass it on to somebody else to explain what is it like. But other than that, the rest of the stuff is I understand it, and we talk about it, and I hear it from other people's families, but I wasn't brought up with that level of pressure. I was brought up in a completely, it wasn't pressure less, there were still responsibilities, but it came from both sides.
I mean,
man's like,
oh. Yeah, I'm sick.
I know Ryan wants to say
that. Yeah, I'm lucky, man.
No, because like, my dad was not tough love. He was like love, but tough love at the same time. I remember, like, as Craig said, he's been beaten once. I can't remember what I done, but I said something. I was on the phone and I was like, oh, my dad switched. I'll call you in a minute. And then switched. If my dad's a bit bigger than me, innit, taller, but he grabbed me by my, like, literally by my top and had me in one corner. My feet were dangling. Yeah? And I'm like...
Hey, don't laugh at the abuse, yo.
And I'm looking at this guy, I'm like, how can you do that to your son? I'm your son. And this is like, when Craig said, like, his dad is literally, but he showed him right from wrong. My dad literally put me down. 5 minutes later, I was actually sitting on my bed, knowing you're trying to play Xbox, but your hands are shaking. He's like, come here, like, I love you, no? I'm sorry for earlier. I was like,
sorry. Because I could just imagine, man's like, how do you feel in that moment? What did you feel?
I'm like, you don't love me. You don't, because I missed a bit, because he's had me like this, yeah, and before he's put me down, my mum's like, don't hurt my child. So imagine, he's got my mum here. He's not even holding her, he's just pushing her off, innit? And I'm looking, I'm thinking, you can't hit me, because you've got your wife there as well, so what are you going to do? But I'm like, I can't say nothing. But it's like, after that, like, I gained a new level of... not respect for him, but I gained a new level of fear and respect in a sense where, like, I know my borders, innit? Okay. And like, now when we talk about it, he's just like, literally, like, I would never ever strike that fear into you ever again in my life. It was just like a split instinct. And he was just like, you need to understand when to stop. And for me, it was just like, you had my best interests at heart, and that was your way of actually getting me to. No, now like, I look back at it now, and I'm like, that's a bit messed up, but that's the way you got me to think about it. So I can understand where the love fear thing comes from.
Bro. Oh, that had me crying, yo.
Let's move on to our Q&A section. Yeah,
this is crazy.
Okay, so the first question, and this is for anyone, yeah. Do you think a man's strength dictates his position within the home?
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. I do. Yeah. Maybe it shouldn't be, but yes. Yeah. People are going to react to leaders not being a leader, in a sense.
No matter how quiet, like, you could be quiet and have a good head on your shoulders. If you're not vocal, sometimes it's...
So with that being said, would you think that someone, a man within a home who isn't necessarily mentally strong, does that mean that he doesn't hold a place in the home? Like, how is he perceived in
that? That's the problem, because technically, just because he's not mentally strong doesn't mean that he should be beaten up for his particular phase or current place, his current state. However, in the society that we live in, people are judged on the basis of their mental fortitude or even their strength to speak up for themselves, or courage, I should say, speaking up for themselves. So that's a very controversial one. But yes, it does affect their place in the household. Like, will the woman have a certain level of respect for her? Will the kids even have a certain level of respect? And will the family even have a little level of respect for him as well? Harsh
Craig,
world.
Craig hitting a nail on the head. I don't think there's anything. Nothing.
Neyman, you're popping up, bro. There's a presumption almost in this question or this topic where the dynamic is that there's just one black man that has a place in the home. But what if you think about it where there's two dominant black men in the home, or you've got the dynamic or the battle between a son trying to be the dominant person in a home compared to the dad? Does this like kind of change your perception of what a black man's position should be in a home, considering there's more than one dominant figure?
Yeah.
Like, how do you find that place?
I found that out during lockdown.
I thought that's when people would find it.
I found that out during lockdown very, very quickly. Like, honest, that like, me and my dad are like this. And I realized during lockdown, we're both at home, like at every minute, every second of the day. And it's like, I'm looking at him and I'm like, we clatter, all right, put it like this. We clash over the TV for playing Arsenal playing. We're both Arsenal fans. And he literally looked at me and goes, I'm not watching it. I was like, but there's like, you want to watch a cooking program? You don't go and cook what's on the program. You cook something, but you're not going to cook that. And I'm trying to understand. And literally I was like, oh my God, what am I doing? I said, I'm coming back. I went upstairs and I literally sat there and I was like, this is going to be ongoing. This is all two, three weeks in. I'm like, this is actually going to be an ongoing thing. It's just going to get worse and worse and worse. And then it snapped about July before I went back to work. I need to be gone. And I said this, I think I had this conversation with Craig. I was like, I need to go. I was like, I need to go. I need to find an escape now because I've outgrown the house. I have actually, I've outgrown the house. That's what it is.
That's interesting.
I've actually
outgrown the house. What do you think? So you think, obviously, with that dynamic in place within your house, obviously your dad's probably got his own perception of
this is how his he
position
yeah.
within the home. What do you think that your position is?
I've learned what I've learned from my dad now. And now it's time for me to put practice into what I can do for myself and become not a better version of him, but an upgrade, if that makes sense.
What an interesting question. Like, I don't know. When, like, when my parents, like, because obviously they have their own home in St. Lucia and they even live with me when they come down here for some holidays and stuff. And dad is always going to be dad. Like, there's certain things he will do when he says, like, oh, you should do something. Like, I don't know, fix something. And he'd be like, oh, let's do it now instead of later. But I'm like, oh, no, I'll do it later. I've got other things I want to do. He said, well, what's so important? And I'm like, some other things. Like, I don't know, I've got a call or I've got something to do. So that's the closest we have with clashes. Like, certain things that they believe is that they usually are a habit of doing. Do I have a clash with them? Because even I moved out at one point and then I moved back in with them to save more money and then I moved out again. I think I always accepted the position of the son. I always kept that in my head. I am never, ever more than them, ever. Mm-hmm. Now, when I moved out and then they moved into my place, or when I moved out and I came to theirs, then it started to change. But I didn't change. They changed. So they were like, oh, like, hopefully we're doing things in your way that you like and you're not doing. So they'll do some things, and at first they were like, oh, they're doing certain things in their way, and then they'll be like, oh yeah, by the way, you're cool with this. And da, 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 da. I said, look, I was brought the same way you brought me up.
Your parents are polite.
Yeah, that, yeah, yeah.
Tracks, your parents are polite. Yeah. Why they doing
that? Like, mum and dad, like, mum will do something and then dad will check mum and be like, come on, just like relax on the boy. And then dad will do something and said, just let him sleep. Like, it's cool. So it's a balancing act with them. But yeah, I guess with Ryan is like.
I live in a household with my mum and my brother. My brother is 10 years my junior. We bump heads all the time, every day of the week, and it could be me and my brother share a room, right? And when we bump heads, it's never got physical or something like that, but it gets to the point where I'm just, you might understand that you never want to go home because you know that it's a crowded space, and having your own space gives you that level of freedom. So I could turn around and be like, because I moved out and then I came back home to mummy, and it was like, well, my brother's kind of like, you know, the head guy in the house now, my mum's brother. So anything like a level of like getting things done, you know, they'd be talking about it. And I'm like, well, I'm kind of here too, guys. You know,
yeah, involved.
But
come like the lost son.
Yeah, like the black ugly duckling. But one of the things that I learned grew by doing that. And my brother, me and my brother, closer than we've ever been, is to turn around and be able to talk it out.
Yeah, well, I'm the youngest, so it's a different dynamic for me. Yeah, because I never really...
The baby.
I never really felt that I had a position. Yeah, I never really felt that I had a position to be the dominant person in the house at all, because I was the youngest. Like, I've got an older brother, and then my dad's in the house, so the three men in the house... I couldn't claim nothing. What am I claiming? I'm the youngest, I'm the smallest. I can't do that. I had to submit to that position, man. I knew that position early on that it weren't gonna happen. But then again, me being me, I was very independent anyway. So it was not like to say I saw myself as, okay, this is the role that I need to take within this group. It was like, what can I do on my own? So because, I guess maybe it was partly because I was the youngest and I knew I could never really have that dominant position within the group, within the unit as a family, I had to make a dominant position by myself, if that makes sense. So I had to kind of make that journey alone and kind of find my own place. And that's kind of my dynamic within the house.
That's a really interesting outlook of it, because you basically look to within yourself as to how you can be your own leader of yourself rather than trying to be a leader of something else instead. But this has been a powerful conversation, you guys, seriously. I knew it was going to go over because it's a big statement. Did we reach a conclusion? I think the whole point is that we don't reach conclusions. Everybody's different. Everyone has a different perspective. And that's the beauty of us as human beings and people and black men. So I hope that this has helped.
All right. Well, yeah, amazing. Thank you so much, guys, for obviously sending in those questions. Please do keep sending them in. Obviously, this platform isn't just about us talking to you guys. It's about you guys getting involved, asking questions and continuing the conversation. So open up to us about your views and your experiences. If you enjoyed the podcast, please like, share, and remember to follow us to stay up to date with all of our new content and events. Thank you guys for taking part. Thank you, Ryan. Thank you, Naaman. Thank you, Craig.
Thanks for having us.
And thank you guys for listening, as always, man. Thank you so much. We'll see you guys soon.
Thank you, peeps. Take it easy. Sliding in DMs, man. We want to know your perspective.